Thank you, Dwight. Dwight, is this yours? I hope whoever had it does not have the coronavirus. Now, I don't need it again, folks. Anyway, thank you all for coming tonight. And, you know, Bible Hour started back tonight, and that always takes a lot out of our Sunday night attendance. Matter of fact, last week they had 28 back there, and that's great. And it's certainly a wonderful opportunity for young children to learn and study about God. And we appreciate the parents bringing them and making that special effort to do just that. You know, we've been singing songs tonight about trust. It's so sweet to trust in Jesus. And another song will be sung momentarily at the close of tonight's lesson. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. But who do you trust? Someone said to me not long ago, they said, you know, it's just gotten to where you just can't trust anybody anymore. And maybe you've said that. And maybe your trust in someone has been broken. Trust should be a sacred thing. When you trust someone, it means that you really have confidence in them. Someone has appropriately said that trust takes years to build. It takes seconds to break and forever to repair. You know, it's a sad thing, isn't it, when we feel that someone did not keep our trust. And it's a sad thing when people break their trust in someone. It means that you really have confidence in that person. You know that they're going to be there for you. You know that they're going to be there not only with words, but they're going to be there to do whatever is necessary for you as an individual. And it's having confidence in them. We should never trust a government that does not trust us. Sometimes we like to think that our government is one that is imperishable, And that it is infallible and invincible, but that's not true at all. The word government is derived from actually a Latin word, and that word actually means to control. You know, when you say someone is a governor, he controls. Our governor's been making a lot of decisions for our state. I like, by the way, I've met and appreciate Governor Abbott. And I think he's trying to do the right things with regard to the pandemic in our state and all over the United States and the world as well. But he's been making a lot of decisions because he is the one who is in control. But when you think about that word government, think about this also. The Latin noun mens or mentis actually means mind. And so the government is that which controls your mind, or they endeavor to control your mind. That's why the Bible says, as I mentioned this morning, that we're to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. That we are to love God with our mind mentally. We love Him affectionately with our heart and our emotions, and that is the seat of our emotions. But we love God with our mind also. And that means that we give our mind totally to the control of God Almighty. But the government sometimes wants to control us a little bit more than we desire. But it actually means, when you think about the word government, it means to control the mind. I'll tell you also, when you answer that question, who do you trust? You should never trust the media. How many of you know that's true, right? You know, CNN says that they are the most trusted name in news today. I believe that. Like if I had some oceanfront property out in Arizona. Far cry from the truth. And don't trust the internet anymore. I used to believe, as I've told you many times, that I used to think, well, if you saw something on the internet, you know it's true. People post all kinds of things on the internet that are actually not true at all. So that only leaves one for us to trust, and that is God. We trust in Him. You know, this little inscription is on our currency. In God we trust. But there are too many people in today's world that do not actually trust in God. And John would write in 1 John 4 and verse 6, he says, "By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." God has given us the ability to discern between right and wrong. And the Hebrew writer, if you accept it to be the Apostle Paul, in the book of Hebrews chapter 5 says that he has given us senses whereby we can discern between what is right and what is wrong. Do you know that God even had an unwritten law? He still has an unwritten law. He has a written law that we call the Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament, the New Testament. But God has an unwritten law. Let me explain to you what I mean by that. How many of you know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow? Anybody? Nobody knows. That is an unwritten law of God. But God has already put things in place right now for your tomorrow and my tomorrow. There are things that will happen in this life. People asking questions this morning, why did this happen or why did that happen? We don't know. God has an unwritten will, even concerning the pandemic. I don't know why I got sick with coronavirus. It was a part of the will of God, or He allowed it to happen for a particular purpose. I think He allowed it maybe that in order that I might be able to help other people who are going through similar things. And I have done that, by the way. But I know that God gives us the ability to know between that which is right and that which is wrong, or between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You know, lies are terrible, terrible things. We talk about little white lies. I don't know why we think big black lies are much, much worse than little white lies. We try to cover it up to make it look pure. But a lie is a lie. And in the book of Revelation 21 and verse 8, the Bible says that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. So don't ever lie to someone who trusts you, and never trust someone who will lie to you. And it is a very common thing in today's world. And trust is like an eraser. It gets smaller and smaller with every mistake. But we have to learn to trust. And it is one of life's most difficult tasks, isn't it? You know, several years ago when we talk about presidential race, I remember Jimmy Carter coined that little phrase, you know, trust me, trust me. And Ronald Reagan, when he was talking and debating with Premier Gorbachev, he would always say, we must trust, but we must verify. Always liked that one. Always thought that was a good one. But you know, there are a lot of people in the world tonight that are cynics. They don't believe anything, and there are people that are so gullible that they believe anything that comes down the pike. And it really keeps us from knowing and becoming obedient unto truth. The cynic has the difficulty of trusting those who tell them the truth about God. And yet the gullible are those who are so susceptible to actually believing anything. You could say anything. Someone said that there is a fool born every minute. And you know what? Anybody could stand out on the street corner and start preaching something that is different to what other people have heard about God. And there would be people that would flock to that individual just to hear what he had to say. When Paul writes to the early church, and not only to the church at Corinth, but to the church at Thessalonica, the church at Galatia, the message always seemed to be the same. And in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3, there's a parallel scripture to this found over in the book of Galatians chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. But Paul says, I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve, by his craftiness, he says, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. I want you to notice that little word, simplicity. Do you know God's will is so simple that even a child can grasp it and understand it? 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 4 says, "For if he who comes and he preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." In other words, he's saying, you know what, some of you are just going to go along with it. But we are warned in the Holy Scriptures over and over and over again that false prophets would come into the world. No more passage more profoundly stated than that which is penned for us in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Listen to what he says. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies," listen to that, "even denying the Lord Jesus that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." You listen today in today's world, people speak against the truth. They speak against the Word of God all the time. And sometimes what really gets me are some of these people, and politicians are real good at it. You know, they don't live by the Bible. But sometimes they'll pull a passage out up here and they'll quote it like they really live, like they're very knowledgeable about the Word of God. And they've only got about a thimble full of knowledge about God, "whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." Sinners will suppress the truth. They push it down and not let it surface. And they twist the truth. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, the Bible says they had rather believe something ungodly and immoral. You go back and read Romans chapter 1, you'll see what I'm talking about. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, Paul says that the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times men shall depart from the faith, giving heed unto seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, and having their conscience seared like a hot iron. Don't you ever trust. Sometimes people say, "Well, an angel spoke to me the other day." You know what? Don't trust men or angels who teach a different gospel than what God has given for us in His Word. For in the book of Galatians, the first chapter, verse 69, Paul says, "Though we or an angel from heaven proclaim any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed." Let him be anathema is a Greek word, cut off. And then in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4, Paul acknowledges the same thing. We are to test the spirits, John said in 1 John 4 and verse 1. He said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." So what he's talking to the gullible. He's not talking to the cynic here. He's talking actually to the gullible, who believe anything and everything that comes along. But he says, we're to test the spirits whether they are of God. And you can know whether or not they are of God if they're speaking what God said. It's not real hard to find. So test the spirits, and I say it again. Do you know we can't even trust ourselves? Dwight, there's a song that we sing. I can't remember the name of the song. I was going to get you to lead that tonight. And in that song it says, "The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own." Do you remember that song? And, you know, Jeremiah said, "The heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it?" Proverbs 14:12 says, "There's a way that appears right or seems right unto man, but the way," listen, "the end is the way of death." Listen to this passage, Proverbs 12 and verse 15. "For the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." Now that's what God says. "Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself to direct himself. It's not in man who walks to direct himself." Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. And then the 17th chapter in verse 9, the heart is deceitfully, listen, here it is, above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? There are so many lies that we believe that people perpetrate lies all the time. It's not uncommon to hear people lie. You know, our president talks about fake news all the time on CNN and some of the other networks, and we know that to be true. We've confirmed that also. But you know, there's a lot of fake news out in the religious world. The other day, we had taped our television program, Give Me the Bible. And anyway, we had gotten an email from a fellow who told us, don't use that word fake news, because they use it so loosely in the political arena. But what do you call a doctrine that does not correspond with the Word of God? Fake news. Fake news, folks. Well, who can we trust but God? Because of who He is. He is omniscient. That means He is all-knowing. He knows everything. And He is eternal, He is loving. And you look at the beautiful characteristics of our Father in heaven, you will understand why we can trust Him. Can't get away from Him. For Psalms 139, 7 through 10 says, whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Can you get away from God? No, you can't go far enough to get away from Him. You can't get away from Him geographically. And you know what? As a child of God, I believe that God will work on our mind just like Satan does, but He will work to get you back. He does. Whither shall I flee from Thy presence? Or if I ascend into heaven, He says, Thou art there. Or if I make my bed in hell or Sheol or the grave, behold, Thou art there. That's one of those translations where the word hell is not talking about hell fire, but it's talking about the grave. Behold, Thou art there, and if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there Thy hand shall lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. Get the picture. God is holding us, but He's leading us out here. He's showing us where we ought to go. He's got a hold of us. Doesn't want us to fall. That's the God that I trust tonight. God has proven Himself trustworthy, both positively and negatively. Let me tell you what I mean by that. There's so many positive commands of God that tell us that God is watching out for us and that we can trust Him. And negatively speaking, He tells us if we don't, what is going to happen unto us. I like the book of Hebrews. It's one of the great books of the Bible. And in the sixth chapter of that narrative, or that great letter that Paul writes to early Christians, and it is what we call a general epistle, it was not just written to one church somewhere like the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians. But in general, Paul writes this, and he says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. You see what God's saying? He is saying to Abraham, trust me. Saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. You see, whatever God said is going to happen. And Abraham learned it firsthand. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherefore, God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of that promise that was made to Abraham, the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God, listen to this, impossible for God to lie, possible for man to lie, man does it. It's not just possible, it is probable that there are people who will lie to you. But impossible for God, he says, that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. But did you realize our hope is lost when we cease to be connected unto God? That's why you're not just connected at the church building or down at the church house on Sunday. You got to be connected to God every day. He is the life source. And when Paul went to Athens, Greece, he said it this way in Acts chapter 17, that in him we live and we move and we have our very being, even as your poets of old have said. You see how important it is to stay connected unto God? In the book of Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie. You see, Moses is writing the book of Numbers here, and he's talking about that propensity and possibility for man to lie. But God's not a man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or as he hath spoken, and shall he not make it good? In other words, God will keep his promises. You talk about promises made and promises kept. Hey, God is the one who made promises and has kept them. And so we have to trust in God. We have to place our confidence in God. You know what? Everything else pales in comparison, doesn't it? People talk about, well, you know, how many times I come to church, and that's great and that's wonderful. I think you ought to, and that's the will of God. How much you give to the church, that's great, and that's the will of God also. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2, as you've been prospered. But everything pales in comparison to whether or not you really trust God. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not upon your own understanding, your own wisdom, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Listen to Paul in the book of Romans 3, verse 3. He says, for what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make them faithful or make the faithfulness of God without effect? No. In other words, if you're unfaithful, God's still going to be faithful. You can take it to the bank, folks, that you may be justified in your words and that you may overcome when you are judged. Psalm 119 and verse, it's the longest psalm in all of the Bible. And in verse 160, very few psalms have that many verses. And David says to God, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endure forever. That's why we can say with Paul, as he wrote to Timothy, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. You know why? Because God is our hope. I don't hope in the world. Like I told you this morning, I don't hope in another government, and I don't hope and trust in armaments. I trust in God. I trust in him. In Acts 17, Paul writes to these people there, and he said, these were more noble, talking about the people of Thessalonica and those in Berea. He says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, inasmuch as they received the word. And the Bible, one translation says, search the word, as it says here, the scriptures daily to see if the things that were taught were actually true and that they could trust it and that they could believe it. And then in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, Paul writes again, we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. And there are many that teach erroneous doctrines today. They teach doctrines to get their money. They teach erroneous doctrines to build their crowd. Oh, there are people meeting tonight where their building is full. You know why? They're teaching erroneous doctrines. They're teaching a I'm okay, you're okay doctrine. Oh, how we ought to all feel good. Everything is great. There's nothing said at all about conviction and commitment. And those, my friends, are just simply lies of Satan. In 2 Peter 3, he says, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. There are preachers not teaching you can. but being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And don't believe everything you hear. Test it to find out if God really said it. If God said it, there's no fake news, folks. And we should be able to tell the difference, as I said, between truth and error. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. You ever heard people say, well, you can prove anything by the Bible? No, you can't. That's foolish. That's asinine to say that. But you can prove truth. And you can prove what God said by the Word of God. And that's exactly what we ought to do. And if we're trusting in God with all of our heart and we're not leaning to our own understanding, God will direct us. But both cynicism and gullibility can prevent us from knowing the truth. The gullible are susceptible to believing just about anything. Don't do that. Only place your faith in God's Word. That's the only book where our faith should rest tonight. And we must stand. We must examine everything we are taught. And I've challenged you to do that. I'm not telling you to do it with every other preacher and not me. I've told you many times. I said, don't just take what I say for it. Confirm it by the Word. If what I'm telling you is true according to the Bible, accept it. There's a possibility that I could say something, slip of the tongue, and, not intentionally. That's why I tell people to search the Word of God. I've told people a lot of times, hurt me with the truth, but don't comfort me with a lie. Because people are teaching error concerning salvation and the way one is saved. But God gave the truth, didn't He? He's the one that authored salvation. But He's also the one that authored how we receive it. And Jesus taught in the book of Mark 16:16, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Many preachers teach error concerning how we worship God. People always ask, well, why do you all worship God the way you do? Because that's the pattern that is left for us in the New Testament. And after all, if God tells us how He wants to be worshipped, I want to do it in God's way, don't you? In the book of John, the 4th chapter, the Bible says that God says that we're to worship in spirit and in truth. For such doth God seek. And the ones that will be justified in the latter days, as we close tonight, are not the hearers, but the doers of the Word. According to Romans 2 and verse 13. The song we're going to sing in a moment says, trust and obey. One verse says, while we do His good will, He abides with us still. That's significant to me. It is true, isn't it? While we do, He said in John 16, He is the vine and we are the branches. And He says, abide in me and I in you. And so when we go through this maze that we call life, we have to trust God to get us through it every day. That's why we should trust God by being baptized. And I'm so thankful that Rhett made that great confession of faith on Friday, surrendered his life unto Christ, and was baptized for the remission of sins. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That message is still true. And I've been preaching it for over 50 years, and I'll never cease to do it. I hope tonight, if you're not a Christian, that you would, out of great love for God and trust for the Father in heaven, that He is providing for you a home in heaven. There could be nothing greater than that. And if you're willing tonight to commit your trust to Him and surrender your life in obedience to the gospel, you can attain that. And if you've strayed away from God, tonight's the time to come back to Him. Maybe there have been times when you distrusted God for some reason or another. Tonight is the night to make that distrust known and say, God, I repent of my sins, while we stand and while we sing.